Salam Tovim. I guess either a happy Yom HaShemot or a happy Yisro Chag, whichever one you're... Okay, we'll start just as we've done in the past with some reference to Svarim, both for the Limud for the Bechina and also for the Limud for life. In addition to, of course, the regulars, Rabbi Neuberger laid out the primary Sugis and Masech the Berizara and parallel Sugis and Masech the Pesachim. And of course, the standard Sifrei Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, and Or Chaim, and the Ma'aseh Kelim Yerideya. But there are quite a few Svarim that are dedicated to the topic of either the Hagolas Kelim exclusively, or to that in the broader context of other related Halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. So the classic work that many Rabbanim use for reference, and also for preparing Shurim, is the Sefer Hagolas Kelim by Rabbi Tzvi Cohen. Why we should be zeicha to produce so many tzvarim in one lifetime, and Bez Hashem is still going. He has a picture on the inside cover of his farm of just, you know, all of his farm that he published. It could fill a whole shelf. So he also published a separate sefer on Tfilas Kalim. So that's a very, very, very useful encyclopedic work on Hagolas Kalim. Besides its utility in terms of going through the halachis, but he also has two other useful sections. The first section is Akdama, so all of the Klalim. So for those who didn't get a chance to really sink their teeth into the Sugyas of the Rishonim, so he really gives you a very nice, to quote Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in a different context, a Kinyan Shvisa, not quite, but taking you through the major topics in Hagolas Kalim by way of introduction. Then he has the Prokem of the Sefer, and in the back he has an alphabetic work, both in terms of materials and types of kalim as to how to handle them. So very, very useful. And in a similar way, with all of those different sections, he has for Tfilas Kalim. So that's the Sefer Hagolas Kalim. And recently, it was a very nice Sefer came out in the Chaim Berlin world, the son of Rav Feivel Cohen, of Barei Shulchan fame. So his son, Rav Binyamin Cohen, who put out similar types of Sfarim to his father, and picking up where his father left off. So his father left off at the end of Kuf Yud Aleph in Yeridah, and the Chelek Aleph, so he picked up Chelek Beis. So he put it out in two installments. Now it's published as one volume. So from Simen Kuf Yud Beis, which is also very useful work in terms of Pasakum, Gvinas Akum, all of the Akums, with the exception of Yayin, that's a separate sefer. That's Yain Malchus, that someone else put that out. That's what Simon pointed out to me. That's why Blech noted, by the time Mashiach comes, Bez Hashem, hopefully it'll be tomorrow, but we'll probably have a sefer on each mitzvah of halacha. It'll be a separate sefer. So, all the way through Kuf Chaf Beis. So, all the way through Kuf Chaf Beis, I mean it covers Kuf Chaf and Kuf Chaf Aleph. So, Kuf Chaf is Tvil's Kalim, and Kuf Chaf Aleph is Hagolas Kalim. Of course, it's not as comprehensive as is Perish on Kuf Chaf, which is Tvil's Kalim, because Kuf Chaf Aleph, as the Tour and the Mechaber point out, they didn't really do such a good job in Kuf Chaf Aleph concerning Hechsher Kalim, because they did most of it in Hilchos Pesach. So even though there's some differences, because Pesach is at least according to some Rishonim, Heter Bala, so there's certain coolers that apply by Pesach, certain chumras apply by Pesach. So they really only list the minor differences. But it is a very good reference work as well. And then you have the Olei Yeshurin. I think it's officially out of print. You might be able to still get it from the author. This is Rav... I always get the first name right. But which one? Because it's Rav Felder. But with Aaron or Gedalia? Who?
Aaron.
Yisodi Yeshurin is...
That's
Gedalia. Yisodi Yeshurin is Rav Gedalia Felder. It's his son, Rav Aaron Felder, who was apparently a Ben Bias in terms of Shemush and being in the house of Moshe for many, many years. So he has many oral psukim from Moshe Feinstein and don't appear anywhere else. Some of them controversial. That's all oral psukim will be. Did he get it right? Did he not get it right? Etc. So on and so forth. But in any case, there are two volumes of Olei Yeshurin, one of which is relevant to us. And the old joke they say about the Olei Yeshurin, which is maybe not a joke, is that it's basically a guide for Chasanim. First you got to know what to avoid while you're dating. So he has Hilchos Yichud. Then he has what to do after you get married. So that's Hilchos Sheva Brachos. Then he has what to do with the wedding presents. That's Hilchos Tfilas Kalim. And then he has what to do when you botch up and trafe everything up. So then that's Hilchos Hechsher Kalim. So either way, whatever motivated those four disparate halachas in being one safer, but it is a very useful tool. A very quick reference work. You know, he doesn't he's not Marich, he just says, halacha, 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 halacha. So he has interesting footnotes, not so elaborate, but for reference, and also within those footnotes, you can see many psakim that he was getting from a Moshe that don't really appear anywhere, don't even appear in the Tshuvas. So it's a very useful reference tool as well. I'm sure there are others, but these are the ones that I have used, and I found all of them extremely useful in the Limud, preparing the Shiurim and the Chazara, and also just in terms of as a reference. Okay. We're going to try to follow, as Rabbi Neuberger did in the Chaburis, rather than just Sif after Sif in the Mechaber, we're going to try to follow a more logical order, and it could be those who might be listening to previous year's recordings, but I might follow a slightly different order. Either way, we're going to try to cover basically the same material. I want to start with the methods of Hagala. Spend quite a bit of time on that, both in terms of some of the basic principles and also the Pratim, and then to move on to, within that, to be Mishalev Tafnun Beis. That's mostly in Tafnun Aleph, what I just said. Tafnun Beis, which is just the actual method. What do you do? So rather than separating it, I'm going to try to put it together with this discussion of the methods of Hagala. And then I'm going to intersperse between the Or HaChaim and the Yoredeya, because I want to make it into a package. I want to show where the halachas contrast. And then we'll move on to materials. Again, since the forum of the Chazara doesn't really allow for a total review of everything, so we're going to focus only on those topics that really appear within the Shulchan Aruch. So more the modern kalim, the dishwashers, the microwaves, and our ovens. So that I refer you back to your notes in the Chaburis or whatever the online version of those things. Okay, so we start with the two fundamental differences. I should say the two fundamentally different kinds of methodologies of Hechsher Kalim. One is Libun and one is Hagala. Interestingly, and this is something Rabbi Tendler noted when he was giving the Chaburis in Hechsher Kalim, the Torah has two parshias concerning Hechsher Kalim, which I think Rabbi Neuberger spoke about as well. One is, of course, Parshas Tzav, which we read, interestingly, right before Pesach. And one is the Geulei Klei Midyan, which is the Parshas Matos. Geulei Klei Midyan mentions both the Hechsher of Libun as well as the Hechsher of Hagala. It's an interesting dispute in the Rishonim as to which line actually refers to Hagala. But it's in there. Somewhere there in the Parsha is mentioned Hagala, meaning with hot water. However, in Parshas Tzav, when it deals with kashering Kalim from Karbonos, so that the Nosar, that's Nivla in the Kli, shouldn't be Niflat into a subsequent carbon that you're cooking into it, it only mentions Hagala. So right away, it opens the analysis in the Gemara as to what's going on. So when it comes to carbonos, you never need Libun. They never roast carbonos. They only cook them. So this will introduce for us a very important chiluk between a Terabala and a Surabala, but we're going to get to that later. First, I want to talk about Libun and Hagala. I just note that it's only one of the two places that Libun is mentioned. So Libun, as the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah discusses, that anything that is used directly on the fire requires Libun. What is called directly on the fire? So Lahalacha, the opinion that is accepted, is any time that you have a situation where you have dry food, whether with a pot or without, in other words, with a kli mafsik or no kli mafsik, that you're heating up with some heat source. So whether it's taking meat and roasting it on a spit on an open fire, and assuming the meat's treif, or toast in terms of chametz, on an open fire, or whether you're putting that treif meat or noodles or whatever, noodles are probably a bad example because you cook it with water, but let's say you're reheating a pancake, to make it simple, and you put it straight on the frying pan and then on the fire. So those are all examples of tashmisham al yidei ha'esh. Sometimes it's called tashmisham al yidei ha'ur, as opposed to or. So, but those are synonyms in this context. So all of that requires libun, what's called libun chomur, meaning that you have to kasher it by bringing that kli, which was by Leia, the treifus of the chametz, up to a temperature that, in the language of the Bavli, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, which is toser klipaso, meaning that a shell if you will, of the metal sloughs off, something Rabbi Neuberger mentioned. The Mishneh Berurah quotes it in Sif Katan Choftes. Or, alternative definition is not that it actually has a Tosser Klipasa where a layer of the metal actually comes off, but Nitzotis Nitzin, where there are sparks flying, which is the gather the Yerushalmi gives in the same sugya, the parallel sugya at the end of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Neuberger, when he Rabbi Tendler, when he gave the Shurim, he pointed out that he thought, and the Mishneh Berurah makes it sound the same way without the Torah Mada angle, that it's the same shear. In other words, this is not a machlokis, it's either Nitzotis Nitzin, or you need a klipa to be removed. What Rabbi Tendler added is that not only is that an either or, it's the same thing. Because Nitzotis Nitzin means sparks fly. Well, we're not dealing with sparks flying from wood fire. This is fire heating up metal. So what are the sparks that are flying? So Rabbi Tendler said the sparks that are flying are the pieces of metal that are sloughing off. So he thought it was mamish ainuach, rather than just two like simonim of the fact that you reach that temperature, but it's mamish the same thing. Now, I unfortunately didn't really get a chance to verify this a theory that I'm about to put forth, but hopefully it rises beyond the level of theory. I think every year I give it over, the boys are pretty much masking to it. It might have something to do with the self-cleaning oven question. It's generally assumed by poskim manenu. I did not take a skira klalit of all the poskim, but all the books that discuss kashering, they assume that heyois, that this nitzaitis nitzin tosikli pasan occurs somewhere between 700 degrees to 900 degrees. Rabbi Tendler, I think, insisted upon 900. Rabbi Neuberger quoted, I think, is the more mekubal shear of 700 degrees. But since a self-cleaning oven goes above that temperature, it hits 1,000, sometimes even hotter, that the heat that generates certainly qualifies for Leibon Chomer. But there is a fundamental difference between the way a self-cleaning oven reaches that temperature and the way that temperature, what its effects would be on regular metal. Because the difference between a self-cleaning oven metal and the regular metal, the difference being, of course, that the metals in the self-cleaning oven are all alloys, they're mixing different kinds of metal, sometimes even an enamel finish to it, which we'll discuss later. Of old, they used to use, I think they call it wrought iron. It was just iron, regular iron. So if you make iron red hot for a long enough time, it's going to start sparking. But with our treated metals, you can make it as hot as you want. It's not going to, sometimes it might not even glow, depending on the nature of the metal, unless you're being really hot. And it's certainly not going to spark. So, is that good enough? In other words, is Tasser Klipasan and Nitzotis Nitzin, is that a Simen or a Siba? Do you need that? Rabbi Neuberger in the Shir suggested that maybe that's what it sounds like from the Mishneh Berurah a little bit, because the Mishneh Berurah said Tasser Klipasan. I don't know if you can make too much of that Mishneh Berurah, if that's what Rabbi Neuberger was referring to, because that's really a quote from the Gemara. But unless it's a different quote, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it sounds like Mishneh Berurah that the purpose of leaving is actually peel off a klipa. But maybe it's just a simon. That's indicative of the fact that you have reached the temperature that's necessary to qualify as leaving chamor. So the poskim who assume that self-cleaning ovens is leaving chamor are obviously assuming that you don't need nitzotis nitzin, because if you would, then self-cleaning oven would not be leaving chamor. Oh, yeah.
And even back in the day, the only metal that sparks is iron. If mm-hmm. you use any other clay, so.
In other kinds of metal, like tin, etc.
Tin
does not
brass,
spark either.
All these things which existed
right.
all the way back then.
And that does not spark.
Don't have that property.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the model, so.
Have a different, right. Maybe a lower
right.
temperature also, because that I guess the 7900 would assume for iron, but iron has different conductivity than other metals.
Okay, that could be. I know it's the post can seem to assume it's one temperature, but the point is well taken in terms of the fact that maybe you don't need sparks, you see a riot from the other metals. But yeah, I don't know the Matthias there. Right. At least 1 second.
Yeah,
oh, you go ahead. What?
Yaakov said like Yerubelsky quotes him in the Tshuva like that. The alloys are different.
And therefore what?
And therefore, even if it's not Nitzotis Yotzos, this time
so Nitzotis Nitzin is just a...
For their metals, that was the simon.
That was the simon. Yeah. So we went with that approach. So it's just teed. I had another raya, we'll get to this later, that you can't theoretically kasher cheres ilulei certain xeris derabanan through libun. Now, I was told... that cheres doesn't spark. I assume that doesn't spark. So that would be another proof to this idea, that I don't think cheres gets red hot either. So unless you're going to say that some cheres all live together or whatever, presumably it's the same kashering method. So it seems that all these things are just simonim rather than sibos, meaning they're just indicative of the fact that you have reached the appropriate temperature. Okay, so that is the hechsher of Libun. I wanted to mention just briefly, this is not really an ogeah for the Chazara, but just l'harchiv ksas, I think Rabbi Neuberger quoted in previous years, maybe not this year, there are other gedarim in terms of what is called al ha'ur. These are all rejected l'halacha, but there are other gedarim. A lenient geder is given by the ra'ah that it has to be ro'a pnei ha'ur. So that would mean where you have meat and you have a spit in the middle, and so it's directly on the fire. There's no kli mafsik. So for the ra'ah, a frying pan where you had a slab of meat in the frying pan is not al yidei ha'ur. It would be good enough to be machshir that al yidei hagala. We'll discuss frying pans later. That is not the reason that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as to why you might be able to get away with hagala. It's a different snifim because there's oil, etc., whatever. But the Ra'ah actually holds a very limited definition of what's called Idea Or, what he calls Ro'e Pnei Or. We don't pask in that way. We pask in the broader definition. There's another issue, and this does come up in the Noisei Kalim. I just want to stress again that either we don't pask in this way, or the Shach in Chilas Kvayde HaGadol misunderstood the source. The Shach in Yoridea, Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph, quotes on Ramami Panu. And the way the Shach seems to understand the Ramami Panu is, and then it's debated further about whether he got it right or wrong, etc., partially right, is that any time you have treifus that directly comes into contact with a pot, that is al yedei ha'ur, whether that treifus is solid treifus or liquid treifus. That seems to be the way the Shach read the Ramami Panu. Again, I refer you to the Pesachei Tshuva, where he quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chassam Sofer, who have a different reading, which does not lead to that conclusion, or at least a more limited definition. But according to that very broad definition of what's called Idea Ur, not like we said before, that it's solid, that is heated with the fire, whether with a Kli Mafsik or without a Kli Mafsik, but let's say you take treif shuman chazir, lard, or a treif oil, and then you cook that in the pot, or a chametz stick of liquid, assuming that it's called Isura Bala. So that one reading, the Shach's reading of Ramayim Pano, seems to be that is Idea Ur and require Libun. We do not hold that way. Either that's not the pshat in the Ramami Panu, or even if it is, we reject it. So we hold that it's only solids that would qualify to be considered al yedei ha'or. Yeah. Chelev mehutach, right. So chelev mehutach is, I don't want to get involved all the pratim, but chelev mehutach is a further discussion because the Prima Gadam suggests that maybe we should view that as solid, but even that's rejected. So we would pass anything as liquid now is hagala, requires hagala. That's called Eidei Roschin. Anything that's solid when it's put on the fire would require libum. Yeah, I'm sorry. Because he speaks about the water that serves as a davar hamafsik, right? Liquid tarfus, right? Liquid tar. I think you're right. Again, I have to really study the shach and the original source better, but I think the best example would be shuman chazir, that or shemen osir. That one reading of the Ramami Panu was that was considered al yedei ha'ur, because it's tarfus without any kind of water dividing between the solid and the wall. Again, we reject that. We hold it has to be solid, whether it's a kli mafsik or not. Okay, so this requires libum. You contrast that with hagala, and of course, what is in the realm of Eidei Roschin is going to be dependent on what we just said in terms of the different shitas. But let's just go with the mainstream shita. So hagala is required for things that have some kind of liquid, where there's liquid in the pot. Whether that liquid itself is liquid that's usur, or whether that liquid is you being used to cook up something treif. We hold l'halacha that is called al yedei roischin, and therefore requires hag'ola. So, what... exactly is the definition of liquid? So, one of the major areas that this spells itself out is the question of the machlas, the frying pan. And here we have a rich simonim on this, because this is one of the few things that made it into both simonim in Tafnan Aleph Orchaim Kuf Chaf Aleph Yerodea. And the Mechaber has a split psak. Before we get to the split psak, just to review the background of it, there is a machlokis between the so I got our Rishonim right here. The Rav, who was the father of the Rav Yah? Was the Ravan? The father of the Rav Yah, I think, was the Ravan, no? Something like that. One's the Avi Ezri, one's the Evan Ezer. I always get this confused. Anyway, I believe it's the father of Rav Yah who held that a machvas requires libun, and the Rav Yah held that a machvas requires hagala. And that was the opinion also of the Rosh, that it only requires hagala. And as the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Siman Tov Nun Aleph, Seif Yud Aleph, and those Seifim Ktanim there, in the Be'er Halacha as well, that he believes that that's the opinion of most Rishonim, even though they're those who side with the position of the father of the Rav Yah. Rabbeinu Yoel. Okay. Rabbeinu Yoel. Rav Yah. Ben Yoel. Aleph. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yoel is the Machmir, and the Rav Yah and the Rosh are the Mekilim, plus many other Rishonim on both sides, and the Mishnah Berurah suggests that he thinks the majority passes like the Rosh. What's the dynamic there? What's the Svaris? So the Svar Lahachmir is because a frying pan is not used with a significant amount of oil. If it was used with a significant amount of oil, what Rabbi Neuberger called a deep fry, so then the fact that it's oil as opposed to water does not really matter, and therefore that would be considered Al Yidei Roischin, and therefore it would only acquire Hagola. And Lahalacha, we would paskin that even if that oil itself was treif, it would also only require hagala, because we're dealing with a liquid medium. But a frying pan is used with an insignificant amount of oil. So what do you mean an insignificant amount of oil? So you put in enough oil, so maybe it'll flavor it a drop, and it'll prevent it from sticking to the pan. So that is not considered enough of a liquid medium for a Rabbeinu Yoel to serve as a divider between the, or I should say, to serve as liquid. Serve as liquid. Why not? So here there are two versions. And depending on those two versions, it's going to have a lot of community halacha. One version is, I think the Rav Yah, the Rabbeinu Yoel says both. One is that, because it's insignificant. If you want to Ayde Reislin, you have to have a significant amount of just like you'd cook something in water, so you want to cook something in oil, so it has to be like deep fat fried, you have to have a lot of oil. You have to have a little oil, even if the oil's there, but it's an insignificant amount of oil to qualify as Ayde Reislin. We consider that to be solid because it's primarily a solid cooking in a pan. The other version, or the other svar, I should say, of the Rabbeinu Yoel is because we're concerned, even B'li Yoidim, that the oil will burn out, as oftentimes happens when you're using a frying pan, and therefore you're left with mamish, a solid, on top of the frying pan directly being heated up. So these are the svaras l'chumra. So what are the svaras l'kula? So svara number one, l'chumra, was that it's not enough. So the Rosh and Rav Yah say, it is. And svara number two, l'kula, is that the l'chumra, is that it might burn out. So the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yoel say, hey, number one, you don't know, you have to be chayshu for that. And even if it does happen, so what? There's still some kind of liquid connection there, because even if the oil burns out, but the food is still going to be greasy. And that grease is considered enough of a liquid to consider this al yidei roischin and not as al yidei ha'or. Those svaros, lakula, are quoted, both of them, by the Mishnah Berurah in that same seif, in Seif Yud Aleph, in Tov Nun Aleph. Concerning the kula shita concerning machmas. Of course, an enormous nafka mina ladina between the two svaras l'chumra is that if you watched the frying pan and you noticed that you were sauteing onions is the skeleton in the closet of all Rabbanim, the onion questions. They cut with this knife, that knife, because one of the few things, the Dvarim Charifim, that are commonly in the kitchen that cause problems even cold. Okay, so you cook some onions that shouldn't have been in the pot, whatever, you cut it with a milk and knife, and you're putting it in a Ben Yomo frying pan, and you have oil. And you see, as you're talking to the frustrated wife or husband, whatever, who's doing the cooking, is the oil still in the pot? Yeah. Is it an enormous amount? No, but there's still oil. So, Einein Rose is there. If you go with the first Svara L'chumra of Beni Yoyel, so then it's still a problem, because not enough to consider Al Yidei Roishim. If you go with the second Svara, that it might burn out, but I see that it didn't. So, let's get to the final psak, and then we'll come back to that in terms of Halacha L'maisa. It's unfortunately surprisingly vague in terms of that specific Shaila. Yeah. Ah, okay. That's another nafkamina.
Second kula,
right. Might be enough, right. It might be enough, but we'll come back to that later. Might not, because there's a Mishnah Brua that also implies that if the whole purpose that you're putting in there is solely just that it shouldn't stick, that could be that even the rush agrees insignificant. The rush might hold. You got to start with oil, and even if it evaporates, okay, if the residual will count. Why exactly it is? Bottom line is, at the end, all you have is just unless you're going to say that the shmir of grease that evaporated is considered a greater shmir than just something that was a shmir to start out with. I don't know, these are porchas bavir, but this is the way it's brought down in the poskim. So I'm sure they're svaras, I just don't know them. So Bekitzer, the Machaber has a famous split here between Hilchus Pesach and Hilchus Shari Surim. By Shari Surim, he's machmir like the Rabbeinu Yoel. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just for a clarification, that nafkamina you gave her versus frying onions and say a flavored pot that were covered with milk tonight. So in that case, he's only accounted for this one incident. When he does, you know, either the Hagala or the Liban that he's going to do. Now you're saying that he only has to do it enough to get rid of whatever was Bolea this one time.
Right. You're worried about the Rov Tashmisho. Okay, we'll get back to that later. It's a very good Nakuda, and that I verified that my theory about that is correct. So the example I gave is a good one.
Okay.
Rov Tashmish is going to be relevant when you buy a tray for Kli. It's not going to be relevant for a Shaila here and now. So now I got to know how to kashrut it based on what I did. When you don't know the past history, then you take Rov Tashmisho. If you know exactly what you're worried about. But we'll spell it out more later. Okay, so the Mechaber by Shari Surim is Machmir, and that's in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Dalet, that even though it was Mekel of Pesach here, Machmir, that he's Machal Ben Yoel, that the frying pan requires Libun. And in Tofnun Aleph, Sif Yud Aleph, the Mechaber is Mekel. He's makel for Pesach like the Svara of the Rosh. Atmaha, Pesach is usually more chomer than anything else. So here's one of the examples where we combine a tziruf, which we'll more formally introduce later, but here we'll just mention in terms of the frying pan, that some Rishonim hold that chametz is hetera bala, and once it's hetera bala, you could always get away with hagala. So therefore the Mechaber writes like a tziruf shita tziruf, or halachic sveksveka. Rabbeinu Yoel and the Rosh are slugging it out whether a frying pan bechlal needs hagala or libun. Plus, the other Rishonim slug it out whether or not Bechlal for Pesach you ever need Libun. So by a frying pan, because maybe it's a Terabala, and if it's a Terabala, you never need Libun. So by a frying pan, it could be Mekel. The Ramah makes a Pshara, which we'll more formally introduce later, but just to mention it, he says you should be Machmer to do Libun, but you can get away with Libun Kal. Libun Kal is basically the equivalent of Hagala, plus a little extra oomph. So it's an in-between kind of a Libun. But basically, the Ramah is passing like the Mechaber when it comes to Pesach, because if he wouldn't be, he would require Liban Chum. Okay, so this is
also by Isra'atim.
No,
so
then no.
It's not really like the Machaber, it's more Mekel of the Machaber.
No, the Ramah paskins Liban Kal by Pesach, and by Shari Surim, he paskins Liban Chomer, presumably by his silence.
Okay.
Right, there he doesn't say anything. Oh, I didn't realize what you're saying. Yeah, there he doesn't say anything. Okay, so this is a very good litmus test of how far do you take Al Yidei Or, Al Yidei Roishim. We're talking about a little bit of oil. So now let's get back to our question that we threw up before about the onions. The Mechaber's Machmir by Shari Surim, like Rabbeinu Yoel. So an example of Shari Surim is Basar B'Cholav. Meaning, not Basar L'Cholav, or Cholav L'Basar. You know, I'm not converting a pan from meat to milk to meat. But I'm dealing with a situation that is Basar B'Cholav mixed together, Al Pi Halacha. The pans of Ben Yomo, and the onions are balua b'cholav, so then we're worried about a bas b'cholav mixture. That's isura bala. So isura bala, if it's al yideh or requires libun, if it's al yideh roitzkin requires hagala. So now I want to know, yilam deina rabbeinu, by shari surim we paskin that a frying pan requires libun. Why? Because the oil might have burnt out, or because the oil is insignificant? So I did not get a definitive answer to this. I asked around in yeshiva, and I think the consensus was it's usur. That even if you see the answer of a Shechter and Rabbi Willig, they both thought that the consensus is that it's usser, even if there's a little bit of oil there, But they saw that there is a svara l'kula, because maybe when the machaber is machmir like Rabbeinu Yoel, maybe he was machmir for Rabbeinu Yoel only because of the other tzad, because we're worried about the oil burning out. But if there actually is oil there, so maybe that's that chumra Rabbeinu Yoel we never accepted. Anyway, lahalacha, they thought to be machmir, but it's something to keep in mind, that it might be a sniff when they're actually sniffing l'kula. The thing that complicates it is because as the Chelkas Binyamin points out, that the Rabbeinu Yoel himself says that svara, that the little bit of oil does not help us here. But the Mishnah Brura, when he's describing where Rabbeinu Yoel came from, I think maybe even in the Beis Yosef, when he's quoting Rabbeinu Yoel, they only quote the second svara l'chumra, namely that a war is going to burn out. So the first svara l'chumra kind of fell through the cracks. So is that because they didn't paskin like it, or is it because no, because they're just only quoting one of two svaras, but really you have to be machmer the other svara too. So again, l'halach l'maisa, if you do have oil in the pan, by Shari Surim, so I was told by some of the Rebbeim in the Yeshiva, I didn't get a chance to ask Rabbi Neuberger, that you have to be machmer in that by Shari Surim, but there is a tzad l'kula, because Rebbein Yerl had two chumras, and maybe the chumra that we accept is only because of the fact that we're worried it's going to burn out. Okay? Just to finish up the topic of frying pans, even though it's a little out of order. So here, the Pischei Tshuva, I raised this in the Chaburis, just to get it on the official tapes. asked Rabbi Neuberger about this. So in the Pischei Tshuva in Yerodea, of course, in Sif Katan Zion, mentioned that to you before, the first part of it deals with Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chassam Sofer's understanding of the Ramami Panu. But at the end of that Pischei Tshuva, he quotes in the Chassam Sofer a very important kula, which is also quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And some of the boys, I think, after the shir, told me that they heard from other poskim that you could rely on that as well. And that is as follows. In the kitchen, we're not usually cooking chazer, where the maximum shayla is going to come up, unless, you know, you have that the disaster that came up once in an unnamed town where Heinz mislabeled the pork and beans, and they labeled it as beans, and had an OU on it, or whatever, some hashgacha, and then people using it for chalent. You normally don't, or whatever, certain scandals and certain unnamed towns, I guess they are named already, but chickens, whatever. You know, sometimes, once in a while, you have real treif in the kitchen. But usually, you're dealing with basa b'chalav. That's the maximum that could occur. So basa b'chalav, we know, when it's a real clash, is isura bala, so it's going to require libun chomer. But what about basa b'chalav that's not really basa b'chalav? It's basa b'chalav derabanan, or maybe not even. What am I talking about? Eina ben yomo. So you have an eina ben yomo frying pan, and you put in some oil, and let's even assume, worst case scenario, that the oil fries out, it burns out, and then you have something milchik in that pan. Milchik because it's an onion that was cut with a milchik knife, or it's a cheese blintz you put in by mistake into a frying pan. So what do you have here, lahalacha? So the cheese blintz, if the pan is an eino ben yomo, it's kosher, because eino ben yomo. The pot is treif, because it was boilea tam l'shvach of chalav. Okay, but how treif is that pot? Because what's in that pot? Ben yomo chalav, and eino ben yomo basar. Okay, so I can't use it, because I can't use it for basar, because it has chalav in it. I can't use it for chalav, because it has eino ben yomo basar in it. So what could I use it for? So it's been a while since I chazed over Yerodea, but I think there's one, the Mechaber Patskins, they could use it for parif. No? Am I wrong?
Yeah, Ramos is a minute.
And the Ramos is a minute, you know, it's for anything. But what is the status of the pot? It's Balua Basa B'chalav Derabanan? If it was Balua Basa B'chalav Derabanan, I shouldn't be able to use it for parif. So the Chassam Sofer says, you don't have basa b'chalav here, you got a problematic pot. But you don't have basa b'chalav. So if you don't have basa b'chalav, you don't have iser. So if you don't have iser, so what are we dealing with? We're dealing with two heters that don't really stand with each other, okay, but there's no iser. So if there's no iser, so again, I keep mentioning this, but we'll get to it more formally later, but you know it already, you heard it from the Chaburis, that when we're dealing with heter, not iser, you could always get away with hagala. Right, if it's a Teira Bala, not Isura Bala, so then you never need Libun. So the Chassam Sofer writes that I have an Eino Ben Yomo frying pan fleishik, and I cook mamish milk in it. Whatever, Yideha Ur, milk as a bad example, as a solid I cook a solid blintz in it, without oil, let's say, or with oil that burned up, or without oil at all. So, says the Chassam Sofer, you could be magal it. And that's very important to know, because as the Rebbe Neuberger pointed out, that in the current era, there were our frying pans, libun means it's dead. Because what are you going to do with it? If it has Teflon and you do libun, so the whole Teflon is going to be ruined. If it doesn't have Teflon, you could do libun, but you get messy with the handle. How are you going to do libun? And you might have to detach the handle in order to fire it up. Usually, because it's cheap enough, once it needs libun, just throw it out. But Hagala you could do. So you're always looking for cases that you could somehow knock it down to Hagala. Since Chassam Sofer, it's an important cooler to keep in mind. The Chassam Sofer himself was a little hesitant to be Makel totally, because he thought it was a big Chiddush. So we threw in, you should do three times Hagala. And the Shulchan Acharav didn't have the Chassam Sofer's hesitation. He just said, Mutter. And I was told by some of the Talmidim, they heard from other Moira Hera, that they relied on the Chassam Sofer straight. And not even requiring three times Hagala. Just in the Shulchan Acharav, that's not called Yisur Abal, and therefore you could use Hagala. Yeah, I don't know why. It's talking about Kli Cheres. So that's unless the Chassam Sofer extracted from that, that you see three times it was a little bit higher. It's certainly a unique example of that three times, because usually you only have Tzirufim for that for Kli Cheres. Okay. One other word in terms of introduction, in terms of distinction, Libun and Hagala, and then we'll see some of the extra pratim. The Shach in Yerudea, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, Siv Katan, Yud Zayin, as well as the Taz in the same Simen, the same Sif actually, and this is Siv Katan, also Zayin. Well, Shach is Yud Zayin, the Taz is Zayin. They point out a distinction that is very popular in the Rishonim, but not necessarily universally accepted. The one they quoted from is the Ra'ah, and that is a fundamental distinction between Libun and Hagala. Leaving aside the specific Nafkamina, which we'll hopefully get to later. Libun, says the Ra'ah, is Sorei from Komo. It's so hot that it burns whatever Bliya is there. Seek out and destroy, if you will. Hagala is maflit. It takes the yisr that's inside and extracts it, which is the big shaila we'll get to later. So it's going to extract it into water. It's going to go back in. So how does it help to extract it? It's go back in if you're boiling up water in a pot or putting in a spoon to mafshir it. But leaven is soref. So this distinction is not accepted by all. The Pashta Mashmoas of the Mishnah Berurah is pointed out by the Sefer Hagolas Kalim. It's not that way unless the Mishnah Berurah was lav dafka. The Mishnah Berurah and Siv Katan Dalid, when he's talking about Libun, so he says, Eino niflat mehen al yidei agola, el al yidei chol ma'esh. What do you mean, niflat? So it sounds like he's saying that, he's talking about Libun. Libun's not polite, it's Sarif. So the Sefer HaGolos Kalim was medayik from the Mishnah Berurah, unless the Mishnah Berurah was being lav dafka here. But the Mishnah Berurah holds that no, Libun's also polite. Polite where? Into the air. Not into water, into the air. So this idea, although it's not going to be as relevant to our Chazara, but just to file that away for your Chazara of the regular Chaburis, so that is one of the major topics that the post can bring up as to how far or how broad or lenient can you be concerning Libun. Because if you assume Libun is Soreif, so Sreifa needs Sreifa. So whatever we said, 700 degrees, 900 degrees, that's Soreif. But if it's a form of plita, so maybe we should be able to apply the principle of kibolo kach polto, which the Gemara made so famous concerning liquid kinds of kashering, hagola of that sort. So maybe we should be able to apply it to libun kinds of kashering in terms of temperature. So for example, if you had dry heat that went in and no hotter than 500 degrees, so maybe you should be able to bring it up to 500 degrees. And that is one of the many snifim in terms of turning up an oven for an hour after cleaning it to kasher it. And other snifim there too. It doesn't only rely on that. But even if you're going to assume that an oven requires Liban Chamor, but maybe that is the equivalent of Liban Chamor because with our controlled thermostats that it did not get hotter than the highest temperature. So that is a massive machlokis. In terms of Rishonim, the Rishon that made that other shita famous, meaning that you say Kibolo Kach Polto by Liban as well, is the Hagoyas Maimini in the Chuvas Maimini. At the end of the Rambam in Hilchis, I'm not sure if it's in Hilchis Chametz Matzah, I would assume it's in Hilchis Machal Sesuris. So So there he writes that the way you can kasher an oven, even if you plaster the food directly on the oven, I think he's talking about, is by just heating it up to the temperature that you used it at. So that's what, and the Sefer HaGolos Kelim, amongst many others, all start from that HaGolos Maimini, and then the Mefalpul, what is the bottom line psak? How do we paskin? So I'm going to bring a raya from this Mishnah Berurah, that maybe we paskin like that HaGolos Maimini, even though he's not really talking about that context, but that is a discussion.
Yeah.
The Ramban. What do you mean the Ramban? Which Ramban are you talking about?
However, the
Buya
was,
well, what specific nafkamina? Concerning the food, the temperature, the. Klirish and Klisheni?
No, regularly.
Yep. So, what do you mean Kabbalah Kachpolti? I mean, Irui is supposed to. I don't know the example. You were talking about other liquids?
Yeah,
Shar Mashkim?
Or you recorded the Ramban, as I think, as a third sheet,
just
whatever. However, the way it was.
I'm sorry, I still remember the nafkamina. Okay. So again, so that might be an important distinction between Liban and Hagala, although there are those who say that Hagala and Liban basically operate in the same way, except you have to apply the rule of Kabbalah Kachpolta. So if it went in with dry heat, you have to take it out with dry heat. Okay. So now, in terms of the Pratim of Liban. So Liban Chamer we already discussed. That you have to have nitzotas nitzin or achitasik lipaso, or as the place case Manenu seem to assume, and you have a raya from Cheres or the other raya, etc., maybe the other metals, that all you need is that temperature. You don't require cleaning when you're doing liban chamor, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in a few places. I don't recall. Exact 15 tanim now, but it is there. And the svara is because just like leaving aside whether libun is soyref the inside material or it's maflitit, but it's soyref the outside material. And ain't no roast that if you're going to bring something up to such a hot temperature, so it's going to burn whatever's there. So you don't have to clean it, even though when you're kashering a deagola, you do. You don't have to remove chaluda because the libun was going to take care of whatever might be there. You just have to bring it up to that temperature. There is an intermediate kind of libun, which more or less the Ramah indicates in that in Seif Dalid is a dry form of Hagala. And what is that? That's called Liban Kal. Liban Kal, again, the different shiurim, I think some poskim say 500 degrees, some give it 700 degrees. For some poskim, 700 degrees is Liban Chomer. I think Rabbi Tendler, he said he did it in the lab. He thought that that the Liban Kal is 700 and Liban Chomer is 900. Okay, I think it's more Mekubal that Liban Kal is about 500 and Liban Chomer is 700. What is the definition of Liban Kal? So Kash Nisraf. So here Rabbi Neuberger quoted Lav Dafka Kash. He gives a piece of tissue paper. And what it means is that you heat up the substance such that on the other side of it, where the fire is not there, so a little piece of a very combustible material would burn up. However, the Ramah makes it pretty clear that that is basically the equivalent of Hagala. So why bother doing it? Why not just do Hagala? Because sometimes it's not convenient to do Hagala. So you could do Liban Kal. So here, the Ramah has a famous Kula, which I'm still not sure what it's based on. I keep asking about this, and I didn't get an answer. But the Ramah writes, let's say we're machmir to do Liban Chomer, but there's a good sad to say that you don't need Liban Chomer. So in that kind of case, we'll be machmir not to do hagala, but we'll do liban kal. In other words, liban kal is not just a substitute for hagala, but it's also a substitute for liban where the liban is just a chumrah, where me'ikar adin you could have gotten away with hagala, and but we're being machmir to do liban, so you can do liban kal. So what I don't understand is what do you gain by doing liban kal if liban kal is exactly the same as hagala? So why is that an extra sniff? Normally in halacha, when you're doing something extra, that means because there are some shittas that, independently of the original issue that you're dealing with, would hold that liban kal is good. But is there anyone who holds that liban kal is good for liban in general? Who holds that way? So I don't know why the Ramah Paskin is that way. If anyone can find an answer, please get back to me. But the bottom line is that it's a psak the Ramah. So in many machlokos that he has at the Mechaber, where he is a little more machman in the Mechaber, not to rely on agala, but he's really masking Mikar Adin that agala is enough, so he requires Liban Kal. So I just wanted to review both the methodology of doing Liban Kal, what it requires, and also some of those nafkaminis where the Rama writes, where he steps up Hagala over the Mechaber. I'm sorry? Why not? But I understand my manashech. If you're being machmir, it requires liben chomer, so do liben chomer. And if it all you need is agala, that's the equivalent of agala. You mean it's like a knas because this person messed up, so we're going to require him to do more? So it was bishogeg. But if it's not a fundamentally different kind of. Okay, so the chumra, in the same realm. So we should remember that there is such a shita that it requires leaving chumra. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe that's all it is. So we should remember, we give cover to that shita by doing something that is somewhere in the realm. Okay, maybe that's the shot. So how to do libun kal? So of course you have to bring it up to the hot temperature that leads it up to 500. So here the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Ramah, writes that the Ramah points out that not only is Liban Kal good when you're substituting for Hagolah, and not only is it good when you're trying to do Hagolah plus, meaning where you might need Liban Chamor, but make it within all you need is Hagolah, so require Liban Kal, it's also good to take care of another area where Hagolah wouldn't work, and that's namely where you have a stokim. You have cracks where there might be some chametz or some iser that's lurking in the cracks. And Hagolah is not going to work because it doesn't work on a Be'en. So in those cracks, all you need is Libun Kal. The Mechaber, that's in Sif Dalet of the Ramah. The Mechaber also discussed the cracks in Sif Gimel. And he mentioned that you need Libun. But he didn't say Libun Kal. So here the Ramah clarifies that all you need is Libun Kal. I guess you could insist that the Mechaber argues and says for the cracks you need Libun Chamor, but the poskim, I think, seem to assume that the Ramah is just clarifying the Mechaber, that whatever you're just trying to deal with the cracks, all you need is Libun Kal. What's the Svara? Because what are you trying to do with the cracks? You're not trying to do Hechsher. Just trying to burn whatever's there. Okay, so if you burn a fire there, it's going to get to 500 degrees, it's also going to burn Ben. You don't got to bring it up to 900 degrees or 700 degrees to burn the Ben. 500 will be sufficient. Here I just had a Messias question. So does that mean put two and two together? And I'm a yeshiva boy, and I want to come into my apartment. And I don't want to clean easy off. Forget it. I learned that Liban Kal takes care of all of the Be'en, right? And the gumas and the stokim. So I'll turn on my oven to 500 degrees without cleaning it. And that's it. What are you going to tell me? But you didn't clean it first. So what? The Ramah writes that Liban Kal burns up Be'en. So this question bothered me. So why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? The Sfarim say not that way. They say if you're going to just turn up and up for an hour, you got to do an easy off. Some say two easy offs, you know, just to make sure to be pogame anything that remains. Go ahead.
Well, there's the whole idea of just you have to deal with reality.
Yeah.
Right.
So where do we go wrong here? The fact is when you turn up an oven to 500 degrees, it's still going to be greasy.
No, for example, that you have like... Rav Alvaz, who says that, and many others, who say plastic is, you treat like glass, and
right.
For us, it's fantastic,
right.
But still smells. So
right.
You have to be, honest about
right.
The fact.
See
it still smells.
But what I'm trying to do is, so where do we go wrong?
Butter's on the outside.
So what?
Butter's on the outside.
So I thought it's pashit. When the Brahma says we're doing Liban Kal on the gumas, that means we're taking a blowtorch or a match or a candle or something, and we're holding it there in that crack till we're confident that whatever gunk is there burned out. That's not the way we do Liban Kal in the ovens. We're turning on to the highest temperature, and then it's heating the box. But there's no fire in every area, so all the grease spots there are going to remain. So one of the boys... I'm sorry? In terms of this particular Nakuda? Or he discusses the fact that it's Mibachutz, and is worried about the fact that, in general, Hesek Mibachutz doesn't work. But I'm adding that I think that's why it doesn't work here either, because you're not burning the band directly. So one of the boys pointed out, and let's say you leave on your oven for 24 hours or 30 hours, so probably at a certain point it's going to burn the end, but not in the framework that you're doing it, you know, just turning it on for an hour or so. And certainly not, I think, Rabbi Neuberger knocked it down to for 40, 45 minutes or something like that. So that's why you got to clean the oven. When we say leave and Kyle takes care of end, I believe it's talking about where you're directly applying the heat to it. But it's from the outside, so then, as just pointed out, it ain't a roast that doesn't do that. Yeah.
Take care of it and not as part of Hagala. Does the surface temperature actually have to reach 500 degrees, or is it sufficient just to see that whatever is there is Nisra? And if you're looking, you know, you can see like the, maybe the handle of a knife or inside the...
Yeah, so if it's the stockim, then I think you're right. You just would have to see. Because then after that, you're going to do Hagala.
So the temperature is not really relevant.
I would think so. I have no Befer Shigili from the Mishnah Berurah there, but I think you can normally not might not see, because it's like you don't see enough in there what's there. So you'd have to rely on the Simonim, but then once it's so hot, so whatever's there didn't survive. But whereas if you're using it as a substitute for Agala, then you're going
to
need the temperature.
Kind of to assess whether or not it's an Israel.
Okay. If you have it, yeah.
Can a blowtorch affect Limon Kal? We said it doesn't really work.
It depends on how... It's not going to affect it if you do it the way most people who...
No, but we said you have to hold it 8 minutes
right.
at one spot.
Right,
right. So for
Limon Kal, you'd have to hold it for... give a shear. I don't know. I'm making it up for the record. Totally making this up. Don't rely on this.
Yeah.
2 minutes, 3 minutes. It's not what people do like this. You know, they paint.
It's not even Limon Kal.
They paint with fire. So you paint with fire and then touch the wall. So the wall probably would be... maybe yeah, it's a lettuce bowl, you know?
But paper burns in a second.
Yeah, but the paper burns me on the other side, right? So you can't put the paper there while you have the fire on. That's not fair, right? Okay, good. So where do you use Leib and Kal? So as we mentioned, the Ramah writes, besides for the stockim, you use it wherever you're trying to boost the Mechaber's Hagolah. So one example is, as we pointed out, the Machvas, where the Ramah is not prepared to just go straight with Hagolah, so it requires Leib and Kal. Another example, and this is not really the Ramah, it's the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation of the Ramah, quoting from other poskim, is about the Chatzuva. This is the grate, the stove grate, or in times of the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the tripod, you know, it's the thing that's holding the pot. The Ramah makes it sound like that you need Liban Chomor, and that is actually the position of the Chai Adam. If I'm not mistaken, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but my rabbi, I think, also held this way. Rabbi Shechter held that it requires Liban Chomor, because he sided with the Chai Adam on this, which is the simple reading of the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Poiskim, and the Nisei Kalim of the Shulchan Aruch, that it cannot be that that's what the Ramah meant, because it's a Chomor Ba'alma to be to kasher the Chatzuvah, as Rabbi Neuberg spent time on in Shir. At number one, if you're worried about the fact that a treif pot or a chametz pot went on it, so ain't kli b'lemi kli b'li roitif. And number two, if you're worried about a spillover, so right away it burned it up, the fire burned it up before it had a chance to set in. Why would the Chai Adam, and I believe Rabbi Shechter also siding with him, why were they machmir? Because you see sometimes that noodles fall down, and they're not quite by the fire, but they're in an area that's pretty hot. So it stayed there, and it didn't burn up right away. So there you have it. That spot now has... Bli in it. So the other side is that, but you don't have to worry that when you're using the kosher food that it's going to fall in that exact same spot. Maybe that's the other side. Al pi rov, the stuff is going to get burned up right away. So lamaisa, although there are those who side with the Chai Adam on this, but the Mishnah Berurah, at least in terms of most poskim, had heavy sway here, and therefore he won, and therefore the poskim who require the poskim when they require libun for the chatzuva. Either for Pesach or for Shari Surim, they generally assume it only requires Liban Kal, which, as Rabbi Neuberg pointed out, is accomplished by turning up the jet for a different shiurim I give in 5 minutes, 15 minutes, and preferably with something put on it so the heat should spread. I don't know. Speak to him directly. That I didn't hear. And Rabbi Neuberg pointed out that if you want to be machmir, it's to put in a self-cleaning oven. And if you don't have one, you can give it to a neighbor the next time they do the cycle. Just one final word on this, just 1 second. There's some practicum that if you are putting something on top to spread it, so Rabbi Welcher pointed out that Chacham Ein Avrosho, if you want to be protected from rabbinic malpractice, unless you take out insurance for that, so if you tell your Baal Vatim to put a blech on top of the grate so that the fire should spread, so with most of our modern stove tops that don't have pilot lights, they have electronic ignition that creates a spark based on electric wires. So the heat gets so hot, even for just 15 minutes, or maybe even 5 minutes, that it breaks the wires. So the oven will work, but they're gonna have to use a sparker. They're not gonna be able to use the electric lighter. But that was already an oven ago. So if you're using a spreader, Rabbi Welcher pointed out, only put on do each burner separately. Right, put like heavy-duty aluminum foil on burner number one. Turn it up. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever shear is, move to the next one, turn it up, the next one. Don't put on these two, and certainly not on all four. because then the heat's going to get so hot, it's going to burn out those wires that cause the electric spark. A little practical, yeah. It might be related, but it's related. But the oven racks are better and worse. They're worse in the sense that there's no fire there that's immediately going to burn whatever falls on them. They might be better because maybe it's due to the nature of the they're thinner, so that the likelihood of something staying there for a significant time might be as great. So there's a malleus and a grayus. Okay, good. Let's move on. Again, to collect a few of the other examples where the Ramah suggests Liban Kal as an expression of Chumrah over the Mechaber. So the Mechaber is Machmir concerning Rov Tashmish, Mekel. We'll discuss that a little more later, but the Mechaber holds that you basically go by the majority of usage, which would mean if you have a spoon that most of the time is used for soup, and once in a while you stir a pot with it, so Rov Tashmisha is Klisheni, Mia Tashmisha is Klirishin, so it needs Hagol and a Klisheni. And the Ramah says, no, you should do Klirishin. And what if you have Rov Tashmisha in Klirishin and Mia Tashmisha al Ha'ur, without liquid? So the Ramah says, so do Libun. But since the Chumra, Libun Kal. I think I'm missing one or two others, but I don't recall. So we'll leave it at that. So we mentioned the Rov Tashmish, and we mentioned the Machmas. Good. Let's move on now to Hagola. Parenthetically, one of the other differences you have between Libun, whether Chomer and Kal, and Hagola, we mentioned one before, that by Libun Chomer and Libun Kal, at least to some extent, you don't have to clean it out. Parenthetically, with a self-cleaning oven, so some posts can point out that if your oven is mamish schmutzy, and even the self-clean is not going to get rid of it. So you got to do some, at least a smattering of a cleaning before you turn it on. But generally, you certainly don't have to clean it as well for the self-cleaning. Okay. So again, that's one nafkamina where you have to clean it. Nafkamina number two is whether you have to wait 24 hours. We'll see by a gola that generally you wait 24 hours before you do a gola. By Liban, you don't have to. Whatever the lumdus of Liban is, if Liban works because it's so rafe, okay, so you don't have to wait 24 hours because it's not going out, it's burning it. And if Liban works because of plita, so since it's being piloted into the air and not into the water, so as we'll see later, the only reason you got to wait to Ene Ben Yomo for a goal is because it's going into the water, go back in. But if it's going into the air, it's not going to go back in. So when it comes to Liban, you don't have to wait 24 hours. What about Liban Kal? So different Sfarim say different things on this. Ikar Adin, I think Rabbi Eider points this out, you don't have to wait 24 hours for Liban Kal because there's no liquid. The whole reason you got to wait 24 hours is to do with the fact that it's going into the water and it's going to go back in. If it's Liban Kal, even though Liban Kal, yeah, it's halakhically the same as Agala, but it's working with a different methodology. It's being pulled into the air, or burning, partially at least, however Liban Kal operates. But the whole lumdus requiring Ene Ben Yomo for Agala doesn't apply. But some Svarim say that when you're doing Liban Kal, you need 24 hours. What's the Svara? So I thought it was kind of like a low plug, since Liban Kal is a substitute for Agala, so we do the exact same things that we do for Agala. Okay, but I think the Ikar Adin is that you really don't have to wait 24 hours when you're doing Liban Kal. Now let's discuss Agala itself. So the Mechaber in Sifei, quite elaborately points out that we apply kibolo kachpolto in degrees in terms of how hot and what kind of madrega sachom the water had. So as we know from Milchus Shabbos in Yerodea, there's klirishin lagabe esh, klirishin shaloy lagabe esh, there's iri klirishin, and there's klisheni, and there's iri klisheni, and there's klishlishi. So the Mechaber paskins that if the kli became treif in a kli rishon agabe eish, they require agola in a kli rishon agabe eish. If the kli became treif in a kli rishon shalei agabe eish, so all you require is agola in a kli rishon shalei agabe eish. If it became treif with kli sheni, so you require kli sheni. If you can treif with iru, you require iru. Chuli, etc., etc. Parenthetically, The Machaber paskins that you require kashering for klisheni. The Ramah, that's the Machaber in Sif Hei, as he mentioned. The Ramah in Sif Aleph, when he's dealing with klicheres, says the same thing. That when something becomes trey for chametzik b'klisheni, it also requires kashering. Of course, in the case of klicheres, you can't kasher it. So, wait a second. Isn't that a big slug out in Yeridea, whether klisheni is b'leah or not? Then if you hold it's not b'leah, I think those are more the Ashkenazic rishonim hold that way. I think it's also the Psak of the Ramah in Yeridea. So what's going on, Tzav? Oh, so how come all of a sudden here the Ramah was machim by klisheni? I thought in Yeridea was mekel. So there are two mahalachim on this. One mahalach in the Ashkenazic poskim is that the Ramah was only machim for Pesach. Where am I getting these two mahalachim from? I'm getting them in the Sefer Hagolas Kelim. It collects many achronim on both sides of the issue. And Mr. Brewer is very silent on this. So the one is that he was machmer by Pesach, and by Shari Surim he was mekel. A cliche, and he doesn't do anything. And the other approach, which is I believe the approach of Akiva Eger takes in Yeridea and others as well, that it depends on dealing with the food or the kli. If we're dealing with the food, so the food's kosher. Cliche ain't a balea, according to the Ramah. If we're dealing with the kli, so the kli is the bechina of the chachila. So kosher it. And if we're dealing with kli cheres, okay, so get a different kli cheres for Pesach. You're not throwing it out, you're just not going to use it for Pesach. So, depending on that machlokis, so that's going to have big nafkaminis in terms of, you know, you take, let's say, let's leave aside other issues in terms of unkasherables. But if you have, let's say, I don't know, it's hard to come up, you say, oh, good, you take coffee and you stir it with a fleshik spoon. Good, klisheni. So you got a kasher that spoon or not? So that's a machlokis apaiskin, for coffee with milk I'm talking about. So that's a machlokas. Some bring a raya from the Ramah here that you got to kasher it, and some say no, the Ramah is machmir Pesach. I think the minhag olam is to be machmir. That's what I got the impression from the Rebbeim I asked. That when something becomes treif and a cliche, you be machmir. What does that mean? Lachachilah is b'leah. I mean, lachachilah we shouldn't do such things. Mean by salting. Okay, that's different. Any diamond, even the kli is, you know, it's a b'di'evel lechachila. It became treif, and I want to know what I got to do with it. So you might say, well, it's a b'chin of the chachila because I can kasher it. But others would say, no, kashering is not so poshut, right? It might depend on that whole davishesh l'matirin issue about, you know, how difficult is it to kasher. Okay, yeah. No, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. He's consistent. He's machmir Yeridea, he's machmir over here. But the Ramah is soicer himself, because the Ramah in Yeridea believes mekel, at least b'di'evid. And here he seems to be machmir b'di'evid l'chachila, whatever. As it happened already, he's machmir t'kashrut. Okay. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned in Shir that the minhag olam, outside of countertops or sinks, well, obviously you can't take the countertop and the sink and dump it into a big pot, is that we always use kli rishon lagabei ha'esh. And that's really for two reasons. One is just, okay, machmir, good. The second is a more lamdisha reason, and that's what we'll get to right now. That the Mechaber in Sif Vav, we briefly mentioned it before, this itself is a machloek rishon, and the Mechaber takes sides on this, and the Ramah paskens l'chumra. Do you follow Rov Tashmish or Miyah Tashmish? A bit of background on this, I think it helps the memory. There's a famous theory in the Gemara that Tosis in the end of Avodah Zarah quotes. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that knives require libun, and the other Tosefta that says that, and the Gemara in Psachim Paskins in the Maskana that knives require hagala. So what's going on? Stira. So there are two basic, more than two, but there are two basic terutzim to this stira. The teretz number one, which is directly relevant to this machaber, is that for Pesach, we're dealing with small knives. And small knives are used for steak. So here's a mistake, pardon the pun, that I speak to a lot of my chaverim about. And I made this mistake, and many others made this mistake too. So here I have a nice juicy piece of steak in a kli rishon. Make it easier, so you don't have to get involved in marshal davagush. I take it straight off the fire, in the pot. Okay, it's in the pot that it was on the fire, and then I cut it with a knife. No, what does that require? Well, how do I got to kasher that knife? So, what do you say?
It's like a ladle, no?
It's like a ladle, but the ladle I'm sticking in on the fire. Here it's off the fire, and I'm cutting this piping hot dover gush piece of steak. So, what do I got to do with that knife? No? Everyone's afraid to say.
You
Kli Rishon. Good. So you didn't fall into the trap. There are many who would think that, no, what do you mean? It's dry. Dry requires Liban. No. Dry requires Liban when it's Al Ha'esh. Dry doesn't require Liban when it's Shelo Al Ha'esh. So the maximum you're going to need for that knife, again, assuming it's kasherable, assuming the material is set. The only thing that requires Liban is solid Al Ha'esh. This is not Al Ha'esh anymore. It's solid. It's not Al Ha'esh anymore. The Marashal just says that a Kli Sheni solid has the lach of a Kli Rishon solid.
Right.
But he never said it's a Kli Rishon Agabe Eish.
Did he? No,
there are two types of Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon Agabe Eish, Kli Rishon Agabe Eish. In the context of the Marashal, because a Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Eish is Bolea too. We passing the theme of Vasho. Right? So the Marashal is saying that since it preserved the heat, it doesn't get cold from the Kli Sheni. I thought it was a double pasha that way. Others have verified this. Someone scared me. He said he asked one of the Rabbanim Yeshiva. Said not that way, but I didn't ask him. So I'm going to ask him. I didn't mean I didn't ask him so I'm free from his psak. I just meant I'll follow up, but I will be very shocked if he says otherwise. So I researched this. So that's the psak. That it's dinik klirishin. So that said, so I take the knife and most of the time I cut steak with it. But once in a while, I'll take the steak and or marshmallow or something, whatever, assuming it's treif chametz dik, and I'll put it on the fire. So that's miyut tashmisho. So rov tashmisho is hagala material, and miyut tashmisho is libun. So legabe Pesach was dealing with small knives, reasons, tosfos in one teretz, so they require hagala. Most of the time, you cut the hot bread off the fire, and once in a while, you roast the bread on the fire. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that it required, that the Seft, I think it is, that required the Libun, is talking about these long knives that you would use as a form of a spit. You would, like a shish kebab, you would make on the fire. So that requires Libun. Because Kol Tashmisho, or certainly Rov Tashmisho the other way, is Al Ha'ur. So the Mechaber is Mekel, like that position of Tosfos. That only is Rov Tashmish. Whether the Rov Tashmish is Kli Rishon as opposed to Al Ha'esh, Mamish, or Al Ha'ur, so all you need is Hagala. If Rav Tashmisho is Irui as opposed to Al Ha'esh, as opposed to Hagala, all you require is Irui. If Rav Tashmisho is Kli Sheni as opposed to Irui, requires Kli Sheni. Good. It's a Psak of the Machaber, the Ramah is Machmir, but only partially. What do you mean partially? The Ramah is Machmir that you require the higher level, but if the higher level would be Libun, then you can get away with Liban Kal. We mentioned that already earlier. So Lachara Atmaha, what kind of kula is this? I don't understand. Here I bought a kli from a Nochri. And he's my next door neighbor. And I saw him use this kli for chazer, roasted directly on the kli within the last 24 hours. And I also know that he probably cooked in it a lot, in the past as well. So I'm going to kasher that, not a frying pan, I'm talking about a pot. So Rav Tashmisho was clearly with liquid. And I just saw him cook the chazer directly, Al Ha'esh. So now I could kasher it with Hagala. How could I do that? But then I'm going to use it again, and it's going to become treif. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gedolei HaPoskim. Surprisingly, he doesn't quote it from the Magen Avraham and the Taz. That's what's bothering me here. They quote it from the Erel Shabbos, the Chayk Yaakov, the Ol Rabba, Prichorosh, Os Mem Tes, and the Sharat Zion, referring to Mishnah Berurah. That this trick, even according to Tosis, only works once it's Eina Binyomo. So since Eina Binyomo is not also minatari anyway, so the Chum gave you a kula to follow Rov Tashmish. But if we're dealing with a Shayon and a Deraisa, so of course you can't follow Rov Tashmish. Again, I didn't research this fully, but I always had a question mark in my mind. So why didn't the Magen Avraham and the Taz say it? Is there anyone who holds the note? Is some fancy lumdus that allows us that this should work even without that kula? But the bottom line is that's the psak, that it only works after Eina Binyomo, which is most of the time when you're kashering anyway. But it would have a nafkamina, let's say. No. Okay, good. Good. Anyway, that's the way we pass it. It has to be Eina Binyomo. As we mentioned, the Ramo has his pshara. Now, we move on to the just an extra nakuda within that. What about Rov Tashmish is zero? And Mio Tashmish is X. Let's give an example. What is the Rov Tashmish of a Chatsuva? Nothing. No Blia, right? Because Kli. Now what's the Mio Tashmish? Al Ha'esh, because, noodles could fall in it. So, leaving aside the other coolest that you have by Chatsuva, where the fire burns it right away. So can we say, listen, we can get away without kashering a chatzulah because rov tashmish is nothing? So here, Rabbi Shechter pointed out, and I think you bring a raya to this in Mishnah Berurah too. I don't remember the raya, but that rov tashmish is when you have rov tashmish is like this, and mi'a tashmish is like that. But if rov tashmish is zero, and mi'a tashmish is some other thing, then that other thing, whatever it is, where you got to kasher it. So if rov tashmish is that, it's not bulei at all, and mi'a tashmish is the one time you goofed, it's al ha'ur. Okay, so then you need al ha'ur, because that's called tashmisho. You can't say, well, rov tashmish, I don't use it at all. That's an invalid application of the mechaber. The mechaber is only talking about where it's used. And as a chomer use, a kal use. And then you can get away with the rov. Okay?
And that fits in with Rav Shechter on why Liban chomer would be required for a chatzulah.
Yeah, but he has to add the fact that he doesn't assume that it burns up right away. Because if you assume it burns up right away, then you wouldn't have the chomer anyway. Correct. Right. Even the other shita would have to go that route to explain why they have to come on to it burning up right away. Why don't they just say that rov tashmisho is nothing? So you see that they're going with maybe that was the diuk
ahead.
I'm
sorry. Shata was a sari because it's not a sari. It doesn't make a difference. And even
okay, but even the Rama maker adin nafkamina for b'di'evid. The Rama, the Mishnah Berurah points out that even the Rama would be makel b'di'evid if you kashered something lefi rov tashmisho and then you used it for something else that you consider to be kosher. Okay, so within just 1 second. Okay, so now we get to the second teretz of Tosus. Again, I'm presenting it within the Tosus just because that's the way I remember it. But the second famous chiluk between Pesach and Avodah Zarah, which is also questionable, just like the first one is that Pesach is heter avola because they're assuming that chametz is because heter the whole year. And Avodah Zarah is talking about treif meat, so that's Isura Bola. So therefore what? So when it's Isura Bola, you require a Liban Chomor if it's Al Yidei Ha'ur. And when it's a Tera Bola, you only require maximum Hagala, even if you use that knife or pot or whatever, Al Ha'ur. Where does that come from? So that comes from the distinction, as Rabbi Tendel pointed out, between the fact that the Torah omitted Liban when it came to Karbanos. Why did it omit it? So the Gemara in the very last daf, Masechta Avodah Zarah, points out that what are we worried about by Karbanos? We're worried about Nosar. But the Nosar went in Beheter. It wasn't Nosar. You cooked up, let's say, the Karban Shlomim, and then it was totally mutter, and then the pot stayed over 2 days and a night of the eating of the Karban Shlomim, and now it's Nosar in the walls. So since it went in as Heter, so the Gemara points out that you can get away with just Hagala. So that's a famous klal in terms of kashering, that anytime it's a tera bala, the maximum you need is hagala. The basic lumdus, although the specific example of nosar, you have to finesse a little bit in order to make it work, is that, similar to the svar of not bar not, is that when you do a weaker form of kashering on heter, that weakens whatever's there, and whatever's there is not strong enough to then become usr. So let's say when you're dealing with basa b'chalav, you have chalav, just chalav. And now, let's say I roasted, let's go the other way, it's easier. Pizza, good, we'll go this way. So I roast pizza in a pot, okay, or on a pan. So now that pan is cheesy. And all I'm going to do now is Hagalah. So Hagalah is going to weaken the cheese flavor. If I'm now going to come along and put meat on it, there's not enough milk flavor to combine with the meat to become Bas B'chalav. That's the basic svara. The reason why I say by noiser you have to finesse a little bit, because noiser is already noiser. When you come into kasher, it already is noiser. But so the basic svara is, but since it went in, it only became usr in the state of blia, so there you don't need the full fledged kashering. All you got to do is weaken the flavor. Oh, you mean some rishonim hold that you're kashering it before it became noiser? Okay. I don't remember. Okay, but I remember you had to explain it at least according to some. So I didn't remember that not everyone agrees to that. Okay, so once we have that, so now we could more formally introduce that topic of Hetera Bola, and point out that, as we noted earlier, that the Mechaber was willing to be makel by the Machvas b'tziruf the fact that Chometz is Hetera Bola. But without Seirufim, the Mechaber accepts that basic teretz, meaning that what? That by Hetera Bala, all you need is Hagala. But by Isura Bala, then you might need Liban if it's Ayideh Or. But he rejects, at least Maker Adin, the notion that Chametz is Isura Bala, is a Terabala. And this is the Mechaber in Sif Dalit, who points out that just as is true for Shari Surim, where you require Liban Chamor if it's Ayideh Or, when it comes to Chametz, if you used in a dry way, you also require Liban Chamor. And the Mishnah points out that is even b'di'evit. In other words, not like the machlokas mechaber ma by Rov Tashmish, where b'di'evit will certainly be mekel. But here, both the mechaber and the ramah machmir that chametz is called isura bala, and therefore even b'di'evit, if you kashit something via hagala instead of libun for Pesach that required libun, it would be aser. Again, hesed meruba and benyomo, there are different kulas that are mentioned, but he does pass in strongly like that shita. However, as we noted already concerning the machvas, we oftentimes use that as a sniff lakula to combine with other kulas that may be chametz is a terabala. What's the logic behind it? Because on the one hand, chametz on Pesach is aser, but the whole year it's mutter. So when it went in, it went in as heter. We're not talking about where it was nivla on Pesach. On the other hand, chametz, as the Rishonim say, is shmo olav. It's not like classic a terabala where noisar went in, it's totally mutter. It's mutter from all perspectives. Before it became nicer. Cholav is totally mutter. It's mutter from all perspectives. Chametz, with respect to Pesach, is treif. So the whole year it was treif, except the whole year is not Pesach, so you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat, quote-unquote, Pesach treif the whole year. So that's what Rishonim say, that it should be considered Yisurabala. So Allah, as we mentioned, the Mechara Paskins, it is Aser, meaning it's Yisurabala, and therefore you have to be Machmir. So an example where you'd be able to rely on this leniency of a terabola, so that we have to see the Shach in Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sif Katan Ches, where he writes that according to this idea of a terabola, that would mean that if you have a milchik frying pan that you heated up a pizza in, you would be able, even within 24 hours, to kasher it via Hagala, because it's a terabola. Same with the other way. If you took a milchik fleishik pot and you cooked fleish in it within 24 hours, so you could kasher it to milk via hagala. The only problem is that although that's theoretically true, but practically, at least according to the standard minhag Ashkenaz, it just doesn't come up. Because the Magen Avraham writes, as recorded in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yotes, that the minhag is not the kasher for milchiks to fleishiks, because we're afraid of confusion. So you're not generally going to take a fleishik frying pan and kasher it to milchik, or vice versa. So, theoretically, it's there. It might have an afkamina lalacha for ovens, because some poskim, as Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, from Minchas Yitzchak, that maybe this minik to not kasher from milchiks to fleishiks only applied by kalim that you could buy multiple sets of, but by an oven, which is not so common to have two ovens, or not as common, so to kasher it from fleishiks to milchiks, relying on hagala, of course in an oven you can't do hagala, so what are you going to do? Liban kal, okay, but liban kal should be a valid substitute, even if an oven technically would need liban chamor, not, there are other snifim, but even if it would need liban chamor, but from milchiks to fleishiks, and fleishiks to milchiks should only need liban kal, because it's a terabola. And the other tzad l'kula that the Minchas Yitzchak had was that maybe this minig only applied by Agola, not by Liban. Yeah. So again, you can get away with the equivalent of Agola, which is Liban Kal. Again, there are other reasons why you can get away, according to many poskim, with kashering an oven by just turning it up to higher temperature. Maybe you never needed Liban at all, because you don't cook directly on the oven walls, and it's only Zeya, and so on and so forth. So now I refer you to the Chaburis by Rabbi Neuberger. Now let's put it all together. What if you have a situation of rov al yidei roischin, miut al yidei haor, and it's heterabola, or it's suffik heterabola, I should say. What's the case? I have a chametz dika kli that is rov tashmisho al yidei roischin, miut tashmisho al yidei haor. So what do I do with that? So if you look carefully, it's a little dizzying here, but whatever. Limud is, you gotta go through it. In Sifkot Niyotes, the Mishnah Berurah explains the Psaka Mechaber. The Mechaber writes, bottom line, knives, Hagala. and the Mechaber, when it comes to Pesach, and the Mechaber did not say, provided that you didn't use that knife for al yidei ha'ur occasionally, you know, to make some toast if your toast is broken on the fire. So what's the Mechaber based on? So the Mishnah explains, based on the Gro and others, that the Mechaber was mitzaref to shitas. The fact that the knife is rov tashmisho al yidei roschin, meaning all you're doing is cutting steak off the fire, which is called roschin. Plus, the Rishonim hold that chametz is hetera bala, so therefore he was mekel. What? But the Mechaber in Sivav writes, we follow rov tashmish. He didn't mention anything about the fact that chametz is hetera bala. So it sounds like what the Mishnah was driving at is Sivav is also based on that kula. In other words, the Mechaber who was mekel for rov tashmish was only mekel for rov tashmish by Pesach. He was not mekel for rov tashmish by Shari Surin. That's a very big chumrah, but that's why the Mishnah Brook explains. Again, the Mechaber in Sivav that we explained follows rov tashmish. The way the Mishnah Brook explains in Siv Gimel, based on his analysis of Sakinim, he only allowed rov tashmish based on the fact that chametz is also at least a suffix that maybe it's a terabala. But if you have something that's really surabala and you only want to rely on the tzad of rov tashmish, the Mechaber is not prepared to do that. And that jives with exactly the psak of the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph. Because the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph writes that if you have a knife, whether it's a big knife or a small knife, you have to kasher it. If you're using it for hot, al yidei libun. What do you mean? A small knife you don't generally use on the fire. It's mostly used to cut steak off the fire. It's only occasionally they'll use it on the fire. Why did the Mechaber require libun? So if you put two and two together, with the Bir Agra, together with the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Pesach, the Mechaber only allowed rov tashmish in conjunction with Pesach. He did not allow it in conjunction with Shari Surim. So if you read it that way, then the Machlokas in the Mechaber and the Ramah then is not really so distant, right? The Ramah was machmir for Mi'at Tashmish even for Pesach. And even the Mechaber is machmir for Mi'at Tashmish by Shari Surim. The Ramah did not allow the Tziruf, right. The Ramah did not allow the Tziruf. Now, here at Tzorachian, I don't know, so why didn't the Ramah pipe up in Sif Gimel when the Mechaber was dealing with knives? He only pipes up in Sif Vav when he's dealing with general Rov Tashmish. But knives are also an issue of Rov Tashmish. So how come the Ramah didn't say a Sakin should require a Libun, or maybe at least Libun Kal? So I don't know. I thought of that question a while back, and I don't have a issue for that. Again, the question was, again, for those who didn't see the Shulchan Aruch, hopefully by the Bechina, you'll all have seen at least Mechaber. Okay? Sif Vav, the Mechaber speaks of Rov Tashmish. Sif Gimel, the Mechaber speaks about Sakinim, that it just requires Agola. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the Kula to only require Agola for Sakinim is predicated upon Rov Tashmish. So how come the Mechaber didn't, how come the Ramah wasn't massing on the Mechaber by Sakinim, just like he was massing on the Mechaber by regular Rov Tashmish Sif Vav? So I don't know. Okay. Now we'll discuss a little bit of the methodology of Hagala. Yeah. Made it Tziruf. Right, he made it Tziruf based on a Terebola. And the Ramah was massing on the Tziruf. Is that what you mean? Well, Machvah is not an issue. I mean, you also have the Kula of Rov Tashmish. But the oil doesn't generally burn up. Okay. That is part of the picture. And if you've shown them, they do mention that. But maybe part of the picture is that most of the time the oil doesn't burn up. But as we mentioned earlier, the Kula relied on the fact that even when it does burn up, there's still some lachluchis. I'm not sure which way you're headed. Okay. So how do you kasher b'kli rishon? So here we turn to Tofnun Beis. And there's a very, very confusing Sif Aleph in Tofnun Beis. The Mechaber speaking in negatives. He says, if you're careful to kasher before Shah Shishis, before Shah Chamishis, which the Mishnah Berurah explains really means the end of the fourth hour, meaning Sov Zman Achilas Chametz, so then you don't have to worry about this, you don't have to worry about that, you don't have to worry about that, you don't have to worry about that. It's kind of a, say directly what I have to worry about, not what I don't have to worry about. Anyway, but leaving, the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it is we have the following. There are four ways to kasher al yidei hagala b'chli rishon. And the common denominator in all these four ways is we have to be worried that when I take a spoon, a strafe, and put it into a pot, and then the blia comes out of the spoon into the water, so it's going to go right back in. That's a famous question the Rishonim is. So how do you solve that problem? So there are four solutions, not necessarily mutually exclusive. They could be complementary. Solution number one is you make it an Eina Binyomo before you do it. So what's going to happen? So it's going to be noticing Tam Lofgam when it goes back in. So, but still, you're back to square one. Why did you bother kashering it? Because when you started out, it was noticing Tam L'Shvach that converted into noticing Tam Lofgam in the Kli. That the Chachamim made a Gzeira on. An Eino Binyomo or to a Binyomo. But if it went in as a noticing Tam Lofgam, it went out into the water and then back in when it was already noticing Tam Lofgam, then it's Mutter. That's solution number one. The Ramah in Simikov Chafalov points out that that's the minik. That's what you should always do. The Taz even points out we would even do that in a case where it's a terabala, even though you don't need it, mikra din, but we would always be machmir to wait 24 hours before we kasha. Solution number two, bittel. Make sure that there's 60 times the amount of water opposing that spoon. So this way, when it goes into water, it's batel, and then it goes back in. So, but it's not always feasible because sometimes you have a big pot. So how are you going to stick the pot into 60 times the amount of the pot? And sometimes you're kashering a pot internally. And as the Lime de Yeridei are aware, the Chelek Aleph, I mean, that the Shach points out that it's very rare, unless you rig it geometrically in a very strange way, you're not going to have 60 times the water inside the pot, connected the bli in the pot itself. Solution number three, Hetera Bala. Because Hetera Bala tells us that not only can you kasher it via Hagala instead of Libun, but then when it goes out into the water, it is not by not the Hetera, and then when it goes back in, so it's not by not by not. So it's mutter. And solution number four is that you got to be quick. What do you mean got to be quick? You put it into the boiling hot water. And we have a klal, ID the 3D lemiflet loibala, meaning as long as the bli is coming out, it has no menucha. It's busy throwing the garbage out, so it can't take the garbage back in. So if you take it out exactly at the right point, as soon as it has been polate all of its flavor before it has a chance to reabsorb it, then you're okay. Isn't that a joke? Which Navi is going to know exactly when to take it out? I never figured it out. But that's what some Rishonim have this svara. Because some say that as long as the water is boiling, so then it's going to be polate. So these are the four solutions. So the fourth solution we just eliminate because it's not practical. You just don't know when to take it out. So that's not a practical way of kashering. So we're left with three solutions. Eina Binyomo, Shishim, Nat Bernat Teira. So two out of the three work for Tarfus, Shari Surim, which is what? Eina Binyomo, Shishim. Three out of the three work for Hetera, right? Not by not works, and you know, and if whatever you want to be machmir, so you could use shishim, you could use anything, you don't even need it, an ein binyomo. And when it comes to Pesach, so now we got to navigate, because we paskin that. Well, that's a problem. So let me pull the wool over your eyes for a while, and then we'll come back. On Pesach, chametz is for sure isura, and after 4 hours, chametz is isura, midrabbanan. Till 6 hours, and after 6 hours, so according to the Rambam, it's an Isalav as opposed to an Isakaris, but it's still a Surah. So after the fourth hour, you cannot use the methodology of Nat Barnat Etera to Kasher Chametz Dika Kalim, which means practically that you cannot Kasher a Ben Yomo after the fourth hour. Okay? Clear? However, before the fourth hour, so then the Chametz is still Mutter. So if the Chametz is still Mutter, so then you have all three messages open to you. You can kasher via the Eina Binyomo Kula, you can kasher via the Shishim Kula, you can kasher via the Nat Barnat Hetera Kula. Because after all, before the fourth hour, Chametz is Hetera. So here I believe Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, it's a Be'er Halacha, what do you mean Chametz is Hetera before the fourth hour? But in terms of methodology, in terms of how to kasher it, regardless of when you're kashering it, the Mechaber required Libun Chamor when it went Al Yedei Ha'or because he assumed that Chametz is called Isura Bala. So why, when it comes to kashering al yidei hagala before the fourth hour, the mechaber suddenly is being makel that it's not banat etera? Yeah, it is heter now, but with respect to Pesach, is he surah? So that's a big mystery. There are terutzim, but the Be'er Halacha quotes in the Echroinim that they didn't like the terutzim, so they were machmir. Meaning what? Although the mechaber himself is makel that if you're kashering before the fourth hour, all you need is to kasher it. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just clean it and kasher it. You don't eat shishim, you don't even yomo. It's not benat etera. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gedolei Achronim that it's proper to be machmir, that even if you're kashim before the fourth hour, that you should make sure it's, you at least have shishim, or it's ena ben yomo. But if you don't have either one of them, you shouldn't kasher it. However, b'di'evid comes up a lot. You know, when you're kashering, you sink for Pesach, so the poskim advise that before you want to kasher, make sure you turn off the hot water valve underneath, or put on a teal sedayim cup on top of the hot water, because otherwise you can constantly have hot water in your sink, and you're not going to be able to kasher it. But what if b'di'evid you goofed, and you poured some nice hot chametz into the sink an hour before you wanted to kasher it, and there's no other time? It's a shaila, but there's a lot to rely on to kasher it even within 24 hours, provided that it's before the fourth hour, because that's the psakim, mechaber and the Ramah. It's a pretty heavyweight poskim to be able to rely on b'shas v'chak, even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it. So what happens after the fourth hour? Which kulas? So again, before the fourth hour, according to the mechaber, you have all the kulas open to you. After the fourth hour, so what happens? And according to the Mishnah Berurah, you only have shishim and einam and yomah to rely on. Okay, good. What about after the fourth hour? So which kula went down the drain? Not barnat etera. Etera bala is no longer relevant because now it's isura with respect to those hours. What about shishim? Can I still rely on shishim? After all, chametz is asa b'mashu. Can I rely on einam b'nyomo? No, it's in time of gam. So the answer is, lahalacha, even though it's a machleks in Rambam Rush, yes, you can rely on those kulas. Why? Because chametz is only asa b'mashu, and no same time lefgam, according to the Ramah, is also aser by chametz, but it's only aser Ramah and Tov Mem Zayin. It's only aser noisin tam lefgam on Pesach, because he considers it like an iser mashu. But before Pesach, between the end of the fourth hour and Leil HaSeder, so chametz is batel b'shisha. So therefore, after the fourth hour, you could rely on, even according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, two methods of kashering: shishim and einam b'nyomo. Now what about on Pesach itself? Well, on Pesach itself, you certainly can't rely on shishim. You certainly can't rely on hetera bala, because now it's isura. Can you rely on noisin tam lefgam? Can you kasher behagala on Pesach? Chametz dikakela. So the Ramah says no, because in Tuf Mem Zayin he paskins that noisin tam lefgam is aser on Pesach, and the Mechaber says yes, because the Mechaber paskins that noisin tam lefgam is mutter even on Pesach. Even though chametz aser b'mashu, but no sin tam lefgam, according to the Mechaber, is better than a mashu. I ask this every year on the Bechina. You got to know this. What methods of kashering work before the fourth hour? What methods of kashering work after the fourth hour? And what methods of kashering work on Pesach? So a brief review. Before the fourth hour, according to the Mechaber, Ramah, everything. After the fourth, only shishim and einam b'nyomo. And on Pesach, according to Ramah, nothing. And according to the Mechaber, einam b'nyomo. No sin tam lefgam. Okay? There are various menhagim about kashering that are discussed by the Mishnah Berurah, chumris about kashering the pot after you kashered, but that I don't want to go into now. A few other leftovers in terms of methodology, and then we have to go to Kalin. Hopefully by quarter two we'll be done. Sorry for the delay, but we have next week already have to do Tefillas Kalin. Okay. Leftover number one. Handles of kelim. So this is mentioned in two places in Shulchan Aruch. One is Kuf Chaf Aleph Seif Vav, and the other is Simen Tov Nun Aleph Seif Seif something. Okay, I'm going to take up the time now for this. I'll find it soon, hopefully, Bez Hashem. What's the issue? What is it? Yud Beis? Thank you very much. Sif Yud Beis. So there are two reasons. So the bottom line is you got to cash your handles. Why? So there are two svaras. One is because we're worried that it's going to spray onto the handle from the pot, or you'll touch the handle while it's hot with your schmutz sticky hands that have tray for chametz on it. So that's one svara. Svara number two is a more lomdish svara, that when you cook in the pot, so mysteriously, the molecules of treif are going to be nivlan not only to the pot, but they're going to go through, assuming it's all diffused together, into the handle. And that's based on the halachic principle of cham miktsaso cham kulo, which is the sugi in Zvachim, etc., and other places. Cham miktsaso cham kulo. So the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah, putting it together, well, let's start with the Mechaber, then we'll move on to Ramah. The psak of the Mechaber is that lecharchila, you certainly have to kasher the handles. and that's his psak both in Yeridea and in Orachayim. He doesn't really say what the halacha is going to be b'di'evid. Could be you can make a case, that's what the Taz and the Shach point out, that maybe even the evidence treif. Could be because the Cham Exasso Cham Kulo and it went into the handle. What would that mean with the evidence treif? Meaning, if you didn't cash the handle, then you stuck that handle into something on Pesach, or with kosher, so then it would be treif if you don't have Shishim connect the handle. The Ramah, I'm sorry? I don't know. I mean, it's going to go back that way. I'm very, very confused about this. Maybe you're right. It's going to go back in from the handle into it. Okay, I don't know. Because the nafkamina they give...
No, it's like forbidden parents. We don't pass it.
Okay. My head's in this chelik yerodeya, and I got to know a lot more in the chelik aleph in order to give a correct answer for that. The Ramah paskins both in yerodeya and in Orachayim that if you kasha the pot, then the handles are fine. Bidiyevit. B'di'evit. If you already kashed the pot and then you had that nafkamina where the handles went into something on Pesach, it's mutter. What's the svar of the Ramah? So the Mishnah explains very beautifully, just take on why was Mechaber Machmir? Because the Shmutz took your hands at a spray. Well, unless you know that happened, so you don't have to assume the worst. What are you worried about that it went from the pot into the handle? But we'll say, Kibolo Kach Polto. If it went in through the halachic medium of Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo without directly touching the handle, so by kashering in the pot, it'll go out. The simple reading of the Mechaber in Yerodea is that it only goes one direction, meaning it can become treif that way, but you can't kasher it that way. Good. But the Mishnah Berurah... You don't have to assume that your hands were dirty unless you knew beferish that they were at a certain point in the chametz tikkun year. The Mishnah Berurah paskins here in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And what if you didn't kasher it at all? Nothing. And now you stick the handle into something on Pesach or lechor the same by Shari Surim. So what would you say? Well, you didn't kasher it, right? So now it's going to be treif. So the big problem here is the following. And this is I'm not going to go through all of it. It's really, you really got to learn the Yerodea for this. The Taz and the Shach slug it out over here. Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo is greatly debated as to what that means. The minimal interpretation of Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo, as Rabbi Willick pointed out, is heat travels. What does that mean? It means if I take a shbud and I have some treif meat on it, or kosher meat for that matter, whatever it is, and I put it on the fire, even though I have a whole bunch of inches of the or feet of the shpud that's off the fire, so if some treif touches the part of the shpud that's not touching the fire, so that part of the shpud will become treif. Because that's hot. Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo. It's hot. It's not because the blia near the fire is traveling. It's because the other part of the metal became hot. So an application of that would mean that if I was cooking in a, let's say, 2 inches of a pot, and then, I don't know, some treif fell on the upper part of the pot, okay, so that part of the pot is also treif. The maximal shita of Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo is, as we said before, that when it's nivla in one area, then the molecules of blia travel to all the other areas too. It's not that just that heat travels, it's that blia travels. So the problem is that the Mechaber, and even the Ramah to some extent, because the Ramah was only makel when you kashered at least the pot. But if you didn't even kasher the pot, says the Mishnah Berurah, then we're going to, the handle's treif. So it sounds like from the Mechaber and the Ramah that they took the expansive view of Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo. That not only he travels, but Bliya travels. The big problem is, as asked by the Chelkas Binyamin and other Achroinim, is that seems to contradict Yerodea. Because in Yerodea, we paskin that when you dip a spoon into a pot, the wrong kind of spoon, we only have to be Meshayer, Kenega, that which you dipped, or at least Kenega, the maximum that might have gone in if you're not sure, or maybe the part of the spoon that's in the steamy airspace of the pot. But you don't have to be Meshayer, Kenega, the whole spoon. Why not? If you're worried about Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo, so the spoon became tray for that kind of traveling, and it could be maflet that way. This is a problem. I'm not sure of the solutions, and I don't want to say it over wrong, but you got to work that out. Parenthetically, that's why the Shach, because of this problem, he wants to undo this whole psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. He wants to say, we take the minimal definition of Cham Ektsoso Cham Kulo, And therefore the handles, but the evidence, not a problem at all. Whether you kash it inside a pot, don't kash it inside a pot. There is no such thing as chamek sasu cham kulo in terms of blia traveling. It just means that he travels, that if this part is hot, the other part is hot, and if something touches that other part, then it'll become treif. But it doesn't mean that if something is nivla in the left side of the metal, that it's going to be nivla also on the right side of the metal, or if something is nivla in the pot, that it's going to go into the handle. So again, I'm not sure what the final psak is on this. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be machmir on this. I don't know how it works out with that Yeridei psak. Since we're learning Hilchas Agolas Kalin, we're going to stick to the psak here. That the Chachile got a kasha to handles directly, either by sticking in hot water or at least with Irui, as pointed out by the Ramah. But the Eved, if you didn't kasha it, as long as you kasha the pot, the handles are not a problem. But if you didn't even kasha the pot, then the handles would serve as a problem. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, regarding the Mechaber himself, regarding the spoon,
yeah.
He quotes the Yesh Mishu Omer, regarding the calf, that Mishaim Mikolom Yishun Ham Yitzatol Ham Kolom.
Right, Yesh Mishu Omer. But don't the poskim there say that? But that kind of Yesh Mishu Omer implies Mechaber himself doesn't follow that. Right, so that's the steer here. Okay, I didn't get a chance, but I remember the Chalkas Binyamin takes this up. He has, I think, two yeshuvim, but I don't have it straight, so I don't want to give it over. Yeah.
What if, like, a handle of rubber, the pot is metal?
Right, so if the rubber doesn't get hot, so then you'd only have shash number one, which is not really such a severe shash, meaning either spray or dirt. But then you would not have the chamek sasu cham kulo. I would suggest, although I didn't see the post can discuss this, a lot of times even you have a metal handle, but it's fused on by an intervening piece, and there's a little bit of a gap. So I don't know if you're going to say chametz also on that in terms of the blia, because there is a gap, there is some kind of airspace. So l'chayr it's like kli, ain't kli b'leim kli, right? They're talking about a one, you know, a one piece pot with a handle, I think.
The handle doesn't get hot, even the spark is expansive.
I think so, because it's all predicated on chametz also cham kulo. You have to have a cham, then you see what the cham does. Right. Now I'm not going to hold you responsible for this chiluk, because you need too much Yeridei for it. But I'm just noting that it's within this great forum here that the Shach and the Taz note the difference between Libun and Hagala. Because the Ra'ah pointed out that concerning Hagala, you could say Chamek Tzasu Cham Kulo both in terms of getting in and getting out. Meaning it'll get in through putting something in one part of the pot, into the handle, and it can get out via just cooking water in one part of the pot and it'll get out. But concerning Liban, even though Liban's normally better, here it's worse. Because what does Liban do? Liban doesn't sap things out. It's Sorev. So it's only Sorev which you apply the Liban to. So you wouldn't say Chamek Tzatzah Cham Kulo by Liban. So again, that's a chiluk you really need to know more your day about. So we'll leave that. But that comes up here.
The Mishnah recorded the Gra's being Mekel in the case in where you didn't kasher.
No, the Mishnah, the Gra was Machmir, that if you didn't kasher it at all, then the handle is treif. Well, only Mekel, but the Eved if you least kasher the pot. So that's the problem. So doesn't that Psak of the Gra contradict the way you pass in the Gabbati spoon in Yeridei? Okay. One other word about the knife. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this too, but it's kedai to repeat again. That not like the old Jewish folklore, that that non-Jews plant roses in their backyard and Jews plant spoons in their backyard. So there's no such thing as kashering via planting things in the ground. What we do have is that the ground is a cleanser. So what that means is pointed out by the Mechaber in Kuf Chaf Alef, Sif Zayin, that when you want to cut sonein with a treif knife, at least be'ofen arai. The Ramah says you can't do it all the time because you might goof and cut hot with it. But if you want to cut the sonein with a treif knife, or something, by mistake, you took a fleshik knife and you cut cheese with it, hard cheese. So now you want to get rid of that cheese. It didn't go in chamin, it went in, didn't go in at all. So you got to basically cleanse it. So the halacha says you cleanse via an abrasive, and the abrasive is the ground. Is it dafka ground or even steel wool? So Rabbi Neuberger thought lekul on this, as do other poskeis manenu. But the Darkei Tshuva and others quote that maybe it's dafka ground, because maybe ground, in addition to being an abrasive, it has additional properties of cleansing and maybe even a little bit of plita it's able to accomplish. So that's a machlokas whether you dafka need ground. So the Mechaber writes, you got to stick into the ground 10 times in karka kosha in different places. But again, that only works when the issue you're trying to solve is just getting rid of gunk that's on the outside surface. But anytime there's real blia, so you need either hagala or libun, depending on the way it became treif. Yeah.
Just to clarify, you mentioned that it could be that maybe only the ground before it Rava gives me a sense of the distinction, the whole idea of an abrasive material that got to get to the end.
Right, and you don't need Bliya. Right, so here's the problem, because if you look in the Mechaber and Sif Zion, I glossed over this, but the Mechaber writes that if you want to take a treif knife, totally treif, and be'ofen arai, you want to cut an onion with it, so it's enough just to stick into the ground 10 times. What do you mean? But if it's an onion, so you have to worry about Bliya too. So it sounds like from that Mechaber, it's pointed out by the Chalukas Binyamin, that the ground is not only cleansing it, but it's also being maflit a little bit. That little bit that would have gone into the onion is getting out via the ground.
We don't know what vehicle
the
ground
is. Yeah, I don't know. This is a Torah Mata topic.
It's cold.
It's a Torah Mata topic. Okay, now, just a little bit about the utensils, because the time is late. Most of it was discussed by Rabbi Neuberger, so I'm not going to discuss the newer utensils, just the old utensils, especially those that were not discussed in the shiur. So we know that metal is kasherable, and we know that wood, surprisingly, is kasherable, provided it doesn't have nooks and crannies that you can't clean. It's obviously not kasherable via libun, for obvious reasons. So if you use it al yidei or you're stuck, but it's kasherable al yidei. That comes up with the rachas. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, the thing you put dough into, you put into the oven, you bake in the oven with it. If it's wood, so you can't. If it's for chametz, you can't kasher it. You can kasher bone kalim, not to be confused with bone china, which is just cheres, which they mix in a little bit of ash of bone into. But that's not bone. When the Shulchan Aruch says klei etzem, that you can kasher, he means, whatever, aboriginal kalim that are made out of bone. And you could kasher coral. I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah means by pearl mutter. I think pearl mutter is a type of coral. It's officially mother of pearl, but I don't think it's pearl. I don't think you make kalim out of pearls. I think it's a type of coral. And you can kasher, rubber is not really mentioned, but lamaisi you could kasher rubber, and you could kasher anything that could withstand heat, leaving aside the new materials, with the exception of cheres. There's another chumrah that you cannot kasher keren, which is quoted by the Mechaber in Tofnan Aleph, not because it doesn't go out, but we're worried that horn kalim, made of horns of animals, again, not exactly... sold that frequently in Macy's, but we're afraid it's going to get destroyed. A new chumrah that Rishonim came up with, similar to what we'll see later about cheres. What about glass? So here, there are 4 shittos about glass. It doesn't need kashering, that's the psak of the Mechaber. It can't be kashered, because it's like cheres, that's the psak of the Ramah. It can be kashered, that's the psak of other Rishonim, I don't know who to pin it on. And then there's a middle shita, which is the sheet of the Ritva, that theoretically you can kasher it, but you can't because you're afraid it's going to break. So the Mechaber Paskin's like the most coolest sheet. It's not Balea. So that means you could use a Pyrex pot for Milchix, Fleishix, Treif, Chametz, and Pesach. Pyrex is a hard glass that you use as a pot, right? So we're not worried about it breaking. According to the Ramah, Pashtus the Ramah is Yimachmir, it's like Cheres. Ravaji Yosef's pshat in the Ramah is that he's paskening like one of those middle shittas, that you can kasher glass, except we're worried it's going to break. So if you have a glass, it's not going to break, like Pyrex, so then you could kasher it. It's kind of a funny psak here. Ravaji Yosef's psak for Ashkenazim is that you can kasher a Pyrex pot for Pesach. But the Ashkenazi psak for Ashkenazim is that you cannot kasher a Pyrex pot for Pesach. Because the standard Ashkenazi interpretation of the Ramah is that the Ramah was choshesh that glass has a halacha of cheres. So it's not kasherable at all. So here I just end with the following. You can't kasher cheres, right? So I'll quote Rabbi Tendler's sarcasm. Wrong. You can kasher cheres. What do you mean? But the Gemara says you can't. So it means you can't kasher cheres al yidei hagala if it went in hot. That's when you can't kasher cheres. But if you are not kashering it via hagala, or it didn't go in hot, then you can kasher cheres. So what do I mean by that? You can kasher cheres via libun, theoretically. I'll come back to that in a moment. And you can kasher cheres if it went in cold. How does it go in cold? When it stayed 24 hours. You have chametz or treif that stayed 24 hours cold in a cheres kli. So how do you kasher that? Either via hagala, or via what Rabbi Neuberger called in Yiddish stelling, meaning where you put it in water for 24 hours, dump out the water, put it in water again for 24 hours, dump it out, and then the third time. that halacha comes up by Yayin Nesech. That's the way you kasher cheres kalim by Yayin Nesech, when, of course, by Yayin, we're talking about where it's cold. The Shach was mefakbek on that whole kula of shtelling of the 24 hours. He thought it was a special kula by Stam Yenam. Doesn't apply by Shari Surin, but other poskim hold, as does the Mechaber, that it applies here as well. So again, the notion that you can't kasher cheres is not absolute. It's only where it went in hat, and you're trying to kasher it via gola. What I said before about kashering cheres via libun, so wait a second. The Gemara makes the gzera that you can't kasher cheres normally via libun, not fundamentally, but because you're not going to leave the charcoal in there long enough, because you're going to take it out because you're afraid it's going to break. So because of that, you generally can't kasher it via libun. But what if it's very strong cheres? Like the Mechaber has a case of a buchia or something like that. It's very strong cheres that can handle it, or an oven that's cheres. So then you can kasher it via libun. And what if you're putting the cheres into an oven that's so hot, like a kiln, that either it's going to break or it isn't. If it's going to break, it's going to break within a few seconds. And if it doesn't, so mazel tov. So then you succeeded in kashering it. So the Mechaber writes that you can kasher cheres via putting it back into a kivshan ha'esh. So that's why some poskim, as Reis Rabbi Neuberger said, that maybe we could use a self-cleaning oven, because that'll be the equivalent. There are two pikpukim on that. First of all, because the self-cleaning oven, you could always stop the cycle, maybe, depending on your self-cleaning oven. But some don't stop the cycle. So, and the other is that the self-cleaning oven doesn't get as hot as a kiln. But the question is, who cares? But it sounds like in the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch that you don't need heat of a kiln, all you need is heat of libun. It's just normally we're worried about it breaking. So if you're going to make a case in the self-cleaning oven because there's a lock that you, or it's a cycle, so somehow you mesiach das from it, so maybe you can kasher china via self-cleaning oven. So this is a discussion, but certainly via libun itself, assuming that there's no chash that it's going to break, so that is a valid method of kashering. So why does the Torah say break all your klicheres? So just put it in the kiln. And why does the Torah say a Torah eida klicheres she'ena yoytzim idei dofya le'olam? But you can kasher it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, in answer to the second question, you're right, it doesn't come out, but you could burn it. Because that's what libun is. Libun is burning. So that's ena yoytzim idei dofya, but you could burn it. How come the Torah said to break all the klicheres? Legabi karbonos. So the Tosis asked that question in Masechta Pesachim, I believe, and his answer is because they didn't have any kilns in Yerushalayim, because of zoning issues. They didn't allow kilns in Yerushalayim, so therefore you had to break it. Okay, we'll stop here. There's some other leftovers, but that they always have to have curveballs, otherwise people just rely on the Chazara. Okay, thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry. What? At like 2,000 degrees, I think.
A kiln is 2,000 degrees.
But it's much hotter than a self-cleaning oven.